This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Dear God, we hunger and thirst for so many things. Help us to find the only thing which will fill us and sustain us. Bring us happiness and peace for ourselves, our dear neighbors, and all creation. Amen. Please be seated. Well, those of us who are following the gospel, and I know Rev. Wendy was, will have noticed that I read the wrong gospel. One of these days I will get this whole thing straight. It hasn't happened yet. But it's pretty much the same story, so it's okay. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. But one of the things that's in today's gospel, which I did not just read, are the people who are saying, kind of, who does he think he is? You know, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Why is he preaching to us? Why is he saying that his father has sent us and that he's the bread of life? It's a perfect example of a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. You may have had an experience of that yourselves in some way or other. I met a young woman last night who was telling me that she got a job, an important technical job, in a place where only men had worked before, and only men were working there when she got there. And she was keenly aware every day when she went to work that they were all watching her to see if she made a mistake, because they didn't think that a girl or a woman could do that job. And so it took her a while to grow into the fact that she actually could do the job, and it was okay if they wanted to keep an eye on her. In my own case, my mother, who was, by the way, a daily communicant, came to Mass and Communion every day, which I didn't, would often say to my husband, I don't know what she sees in all this religion. Well, yes, sometimes at family things like Christmas, because people knew that I worked for a church, they would ask me to say grace. So I would start saying grace in my own words. I'd get about two sentences out when my mother would say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from them. And that was the end of that. So a prophet is not without honor, except in his or her own country. And I'm sure that in some ways, many of you have experienced that as well. Today's gospel recounts that the people, hearing Jesus' testimony on being the bread of life, for those who believe in him, is hard to swallow. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Don't we know his parents? But Jesus does not respond with anger or even exasperation. Jesus responds with compassion and care and love. For us too, I think, the physical and superficial define many aspects of our lives. Superficially, Jesus came from Nazareth, he had parents, he grew up, they knew him growing up. That was the superficial view of Jesus. But often that defines a lot of what we think and believe and assume. This gospel inspires us to reflect on whether temporary fixes will satisfy our hunger and suffering. I read one time that we're all born with a donut hole in us, and we try to fill up that donut hole with things and people and stuff we think we need, and it's going to fill up the donut hole. Nothing but God fills that donut hole. Here, Jesus offers himself as the only complete satisfaction, the true manna, the bread provided by God from heaven that sustained the Israelites in the wilderness. The Eucharist. How does this happen? St. Augustine, I should say that in the early times, right up until probably about the Middle Ages, to eat didn't necessarily mean to put something in your mouth and swallow it. It meant to make something your own, to take it into your life and make it part of you. So St. Benedict, in the 4th century, said to his monks, it's not enough to read the scriptures, you must eat them. Now, he didn't mean go into the scriptorium and start ripping pages out of the scriptures and putting them in your mouth. He meant read the scriptures and take them into your heart and yourself so that you become a living scripture, so that people seeing you and meeting you and looking at you see the scriptures. So that's what we're talking about. So St. Augustine said, receive what you eat and become what you are. We take it in and we become what it is. In other words, in receiving the Eucharist, become one with Christ, and not with Christ only, but with the whole created world, all who hunger and all who thirst. As Jesus did, we take the bread, bless it, break it, and give it. Jesus wants us to take whatever we have, whatever it is, whatever is already here, and bless it. In other words, give it to God. Everything about us, our talents, our gifts, our loves, our dislikes, our faults, everything, give it to God. Break it open, divide it up, and give it away with joy, so that all might have enough. Jesus does this with bread every time he shares a meal in the Gospels. And he does this with his life. He lives for God. He breaks it open and gives it to us. And this is what Jesus wants with our lives too. You give them something to eat. That's what he told the disciples. It's not enough to simply pray that God will change things. God will feed the hungry and clothe the naked. God needs us to participate in this Eucharistic action, just as Christ needed that little boy with his loaves and fishes, and the disciples who gave out the food, and the people who shared what they had. God is calling us to take our lives and bless them and be broken open and then given away in the service of others. The broken part can be hard to face. We are chosen and blessed, and we are broken too. We all have places of loneliness or fear, places of disappointment, shame, or grief. We all know the pain of broken relationships, and we all face death. Accepting and befriending our brokenness is part of the long journey of entrusting ourselves to God. And it is important to place our brokenness in the light of God's blessing, within the context of God's love. St. Ignatius of Loyola, at the beginning of the spiritual exercises, insists that we pray to experience ourselves as sinners who are nevertheless loved by God. Only then does he say we can continue with the rest of the exercises. We are chosen, blessed, and broken to be given. Our greatest fulfillment, Henry Nouwen writes, lies in giving ourselves to others. Our humanity comes to its fullest bloom in giving. We become beautiful people when we give whatever we can give. A smile, a handshake, a kiss, an embrace, a word of love, a present, or a part of our life. Thomas Merton described the moment of epiphany on a street corner in Louisville, Kentucky. In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that they were mine and I theirs. I have the immense joy of being human, a member of a race in which God himself became incarnate. And if only everyone could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people they are all walking around shining like the sun. Remember our gospel story. Even after the 5,000 plus were fed, the leftovers filled 12 baskets. That is the promise of the gospel. that as we know ourselves to be taken, blessed, broken, and given, we will become bread for the world. We will walk around shining like the sun. Our lives will feed and bless those around us in more ways than we can ask or imagine. I am the bread of life. In our Eucharist this morning, we see a sign of God's desire and intent to feed not only us, but this whole hungry world. Once again, we behold what we are. May we become what we receive. Amen.